The capacity to make that leap, the capacity to jump from one extreme to another, is dafka in the darkest of times, dafka in times of greatest opposition. So the lesson from the Chanukah, the lesson from Ner Chanukah is to increase in light from day to day. So you can say, okay, I made the jump from darkness to light. What a lot of people do is they make the jump from darkness to light. But once you get to light, now they say, okay, very good, you made the jump. Okay, from who knows where, and now you're learning Pnimius HaTorah. Okay, but now that you're doing it, take it one step at a time, a little bit at a time, digest it, yeah, move on to the next step, where you jump. Okay, there is no, from each day, before you went from light to, from the day before Hanukkah was darkness, the next day you went to light. So you think, okay, but once you're in the light, now you take it one step at a time. There's no, that would seem to be the lesson, right? Each day in Hanukkah you had one more light. There's no, the lesson of Maisa Fahailuch is, know that even when you've achieved light, you have to go to a new level, which your previous light was like darkness compared to that new. And that's the lesson from Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is total rebirth, total renewal, from nothingness into existence. So just like we make the jump, anytime you open the mind, anytime you make the jump from to Shem and Shabbat Torah, so within that itself you have to be ever, instead of looking to just to make your finite, limited, orderly progress, you have to be, you need what's called the Hesafa Be'en Arech, Aliyah Be'en Arech. That's something that the Rebbe Kochsuch constantly, and again, it's something that's totally, I don't know if totally, I mean, I can't say totally, because on a certain level, it's very much a part of every Chassid's life, when certainly when we go to reach out to people, we don't look at where they're holding, we look at where they could be. But somehow, we only manage that in terms of pulling a person from darkness into light. Okay, we understand that the Rebbe has taught us that you don't sit down with a guy and say, listen, this guy is so totally involved in Goyishkeit and secularism and Averis and so on. So let me take him a little bit at a time. We don't do that. We go and we put the filling on him and we try. We don't try to take him gradually, step by step, through a whole long protracted process until he's ready. So you don't wait till he's ready to put on tefillin, and then other, right? There are other groups that try to work that way. We don't work that way. Okay, we say, listen, that's it. He's a Jew, forget about it. Jump, make the leap. But then, even when we get to people to make the initial leap, but somehow, after that, we get stuck. Somehow, after all that, you finally make the leap, okay, right? And you go from being a deadhead to being a Lubavitcher Chassid, right? And then you come to yeshiva, and what did I tell you? Slow down, take it easy, step by step, one step at a time, where you're going, where you're rushing, pneumius, relax. So on the one hand, obviously all of the whole idea of the Hafatza and the Nyanim of the Mifzayim was all living with this kind of idea that you could schlep somebody in an Aliyah Be'en Arech. But then somehow, once they make it out of the darkness into the light, relatively speaking, then we say, okay, enough. Now you can be as loved like me, and like everybody else, a little bit, one step at a time. Don't jump, don't go wild, don't go crazy, easy, relax, take it don't overdo it. So there that I was saying, the lesson is Meisav V'Helech Haisafa Bein Arech. There's no such thing as if you can make it from darkness to light, then you can make it to a whole new light that where you're at now is like darkness compared to that whole new one. There's no reason why that has to stop, and if anything, it has to continue. It must continue. And if you ask anybody that's ever made a jump, an aliyah be'en arech, they will tell you, and anyone who became about tshuva had to have done it to one degree or another. They'll tell you, and you meet them, and they'll tell you, when I first started, there was the excitement, you know, when I first started out, the chiddush of it, the excitement of the newness of everything, that's really what kept me going. I mean, I felt like I could do anything. I could, you know, to make that jump, to make that leap, to make that change, it was all so new and fresh and exciting. And after a while, it loses the newness, the freshness, the excitement. And the answer is, why does it lose the newness, the freshness, the excitement? Because you're not jumping anymore. Once you stop, if you stop looking for impossible horizons, if you stop looking for, so there are no new frontiers. The new frontier is to go where you not just where you haven't been before, but where no man has gone before. Where, in other words, to go where you can't even imagine being, but to go there anyway. So what happens is you could actually experience this jump and this chiddush and this, like, this you could have a breakthrough type experience and experience the tremendous empowerment that comes with it, that like, wow, there are no limits, anything's possible, and then become a fuddy-duddy because you stopped. Because you start listening to the guys and say, take it easy, one step at a time, where you going, relax, where you jumping.
There's more to it than just say, there's a certain terror in doing that also. There's a certain terror in doing that also. It's not just, you know, say, okay, now I'm going to just jump off the edge of the world and hope that I land somewhere. There's a tremendous terror when you really do that, and you leave your familiar surroundings, and you really have no frame of reference anymore. There's an element before you develop your new feel for this new situation.
That's
pure terror.
You ever gone on a roller coaster twice in a row?
A roller coaster is a very mild.
You ever gone on a roller coaster twice in a row?
Yeah.
The first time, if you go twice in a row, pay the guy for the second ride, you stay on the second time. The first time you go, it's like, you know, you get in the seat, it's like, your focus is more on the terror of the anticipation.
Roller coasters are always disappointing.
They're always disappointing. I'm not telling you they're not. But the fact is, but once you go through it, okay, once you do it once, then it's only the next time, okay, you're able to let go and just enjoy the ride, instead of sitting and making yourself sick over, you know, the fear and the terror that goes into it. It's when you make a break between jumps that the next jump seems so fearful and terrible. If you're constantly being meisav v'hoylech, then you are completely involved in the excitement of each new step. And you haven't, it's only when you become entrenched in where you are that you experience anew the terror of going to a new frontier. But if you are constantly breaking new ground and don't allow yourself to become entrenched, then what the excitement builds while the terror subsides. That is the nature of the process. It's only when you get yourself settled down and you're relaxed and you moved in and you got the security blanket and you're feeling at home and you're comfortable and relaxed and okay, now let's enjoy this. Then you're going to say, no, time to go on. I got to pack my bags again. I got to get moving. But if you're on the road, you know what I mean? If you're on the road and you just, you know, you're bopping from place to place, you know what I mean? Just looking forward to the next place. That's it. That's the focus. The problem is that we get too comfortable, we get too settled in. We live, unfortunately, in we live in a world which sends us messages of because of natural limitations, finite limitations of existence, the world sends us this really weird, distorted message, which is that security is more important than accomplishment. Which, in Torah terms, is known as the slave mentality. In Torah terminology, the slave mentality is someone who'd rather know where his next meal is coming from than have the freedom which comes together with the responsibility to have to come up with it by himself, to have to accomplish something through his own labors and his own efforts. I'd rather work 10 times harder as a slave, but have the security of knowing where my next meal is coming from, than maybe work less and accomplish more, but being responsible for my own accomplishment. And that is the pull of the differences, the pull of the finite limit, natural limitations of creation. The spirit of man that wants to transcend limitations is looking for challenges, for frontiers, wants to accomplish, and would rather have one portion of the fruits of my own labor than nine portions that were given to me. That is the spirit of man. And the spirit of the neshama is even more. I mean, the spirit of the neshama wants to transcend not only its own, it wants to transcend its human limitations and then wants to be able to experience godliness through my own efforts. Good. I'd rather have the little that I'm familiar with, the little that I know I can rely on, than take the risk of going after more but ultimately being responsible for myself and possibly risking failure. So this idea, which this slave mentality is something which we see throughout all societies and civilizations in all parts of the world as we know it, and especially in spirituality, especially when it comes to spiritual matters, a lot of people, the most common refrain from people when you hear from people is, "Listen, why do you have to go look for? Why do you have to go look for big zachen? Just do." Do what you know that you could do and you can handle and where you're jumping. I meet guys who, you know, I knew from before I got involved with Hasidus. Kabbalah, Plinus Atera, where you going? There's so much to learn, there's so much to do, there's so much to know. You're flying. Where you flying? Take it in, it's nice. And that the idea of it scares them. Like where are you going? Flying off into matters that we don't understand about. Tzimtzum, not tzimtzum. You can't even understand these things. Let's focus on what you know. What you're comfortable with, what you know, what you're familiar with. You know, you want to be a little more accomplished than the other guy. You learn a little better. You say a better shtickle tire. You say a better chiddush, a better smarter. But where you flying? And the same thing, you come to Chassidus, and you have the same thing. Where you going, Mashiach, Gula? Where you flying? Where you flying? You know the basics. do you know the basics? Do you know, do you have a solid grounding in Nigla, Shulchan Aruch, the basic Chassidus, Terel, Kutatera? How much time you about Petty, you know, how much, where are you going? You're flying to Mashiach Gula. You know, what about davening, and his blindness before the davening? Just basics of Chassidus that you have to have before you fly. Where are you going? There's plenty of work to do before you're flying off to Mashiach and to Gula. So, it's the same idea, it's the same concept. The Rebbe says, the chinuch of the Rebbe is completely opposite to that. The chinuch of the Rebbe is, only those who live in darkness can fly, can jump. Those who live in light can only hope to get a little more light. Those who live in darkness can experience breakthrough, because they can go, only they can experience breakthrough. And therefore, even when you do have some, even when you do achieve some spiritual state, if you're lacking geula, then you're in the dark. Then you have nothing. So the question is, why should you walk around feeling like you have nothing? Because it's dafka when you walk around feeling like you have nothing that you can, that you could fly, that you could be meisav v'heilach and halicha be'en areich. This is an expression which has to appear in the Maimar and Siris of the Rebbe literally thousands of times. Halicha be'en arech. Thousands. And it's mamish, it's just a phrase that goes, that passes by in the windstream and life goes on. This is what, this is the chinuch of the Rebbe. The chinuch of the Rebbe is, we're going to wait for you to catch up. If you're going to sit and go little by little, step by step, until you're holding by anything, forget about it. Nothing's ever going to happen. Nothing's ever going to ever get done. That's not what we need this, these latest, last generations for. That's what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. And they were good at it. What we do, our what we can accomplish, what we can do, what we can contribute is halicha b'ein arech. Breakthrough. Spiritual breakthrough, achieving levels and states which yet we're in no way prepared for, we're in no way ready for, we're in no way, and becoming a Kaili after you get there. Not becoming a Kaili, but wait till you become a Kaili and then going there, but going there and becoming a Kaili after you get there. And that has to, and when a person focuses himself in his spiritual growth that way, I'm not looking for, you know, a little, I'm not looking for progress. The guys looking for spiritual progress is they got about. I'm not looking for spiritual, I'll be satisfied. Listen, I know myself, and I'll be satisfied. Well, I could just get my chitas and my Rambam, and if I have 5 minutes before the Dominion, really think about what I'm saying. For me, that's enough. And even that I usually don't manage. So when you're coming to me with Mashiach and infinity and you know, just thinking about what the words that I'm saying, just thinking about, you know, a little davening. For me, I have my hands full with that. Don't come to me with, but it's not Stavka Nata. It's Stavka those who go Be'en Arech. I know people, okay, that through the Ingen of Mashiach specifically, through the Ingen of Mashiach Gula, people who did things that were Be'en Arech.
For example? Don't give me names, just give me...
Whatever it is. I know people who, in their own personal lives, they were, in other words, their own spiritual levels were relatively low. They were people who qualify for, you know, could be called somewhat modern elements, somewhat grubber elements, somewhat megushimdika elements, who were inspired by the Inyan of Mashiach and got involved in ways that were totally not relative to their spiritual standing. You would say that the more spiritual a guy is, the more he would be into Mashiach, that the degree to which you're involved in Inyanim Mashiach Gula should be commensurate to the degree of your spiritual stature, okay, then these people would like not even be in the ballpark, okay? And yet they devoted themselves, they threw themselves into it, whether it was financially, whether it was going from door to door and talking to people and gun doors and going out on the time or putting out publications. I've seen people who have mamish changed their lives significantly in all spiritual matters because they jumped on the Mashiach bandwagon when they were totally not holding it. They were totally not holding it. Their homes have changed. You can see it on them, you see it on their children, you see it on the... I see it, mamash, their whole worlds have changed because they chatzuch on the Mashiach Inyan without any cheshbon, without any seichel. They don't even, without even really knowing the sikhas, just knowing that the Rebbe said Mashiach is coming and you have to do everything you can to bring Mashiach. That's all they knew. And they just threw themselves into it without cheshbonos. And mamash, I see people who totally transformed their lives. Your shemayim lives and dictic bar mitzvahs and their homes and their mamash and so many young. Just from going, just from jumping into the Inyan of Mashiach without any cheshbon. I know a number of people like that. I unfortunately know countless more that said, I'll be holding there. And you could see the deterioration in them and in anyone associated with them and in their families and in the community. You could see the deterioration. Because when you're on the edge, when you're at a point where you have to jump. If you don't jump, you fall. Okay, there is nowhere to go anymore, step by step. Okay, when you stand, you know what I mean. When you're standing between two mountaintops, you can't keep going straight. There's no straight to go. Understand? It's over. You got to jump. And if you don't jump, you fall. There's a lot of people who think they're still going straight, like in the cartoons, where the story about Baal Shem Tov, that he was walking off the mountain and he went straight, and the mountain moved over and he went on to the next mountain, okay? But like the cartoon characters, they walk off the cliff, they feel like they're going straight for a while, they're still going straight, but after a while you fall. There's no straight. You can only jump. But by the Rebbe, it is halicha be'ein arech. And you catch up when you jump, and you jump again, and you jump again. You know, you catch up. The Rebbe says you have to do what a panemius is also. You have to do avodah panemius. No question about it. But the Rebbe says they have to go completely hand in hand. You can't be one. You can't do avodah panemius to the exclusion of saying no jumping. The whole idea is that they have to be working together, which in other places the Rebbe explains is impossible, and the Rebbe says, so how can we answer that? Because the kayak to do it comes from Atzmus. Whatever the kayak to do it comes from. Okay? So that's the revelation of the ultimate revelation of the divine essence is jumping, and is where the guy is making his one spiritual leap after another, while at the same time he's working on himself to be a Kaylee. Each one of these spiritual leaps that he makes. But that's it. If we're not jumping, if we're not being meisiv v'hoilach, it's not good. Chiddush Gadol Yaseh, k'sheresh chiddush u'beiz yom. Sh'oz chal yim alef t'resh chiddush b'shabbos, v'mein ha'shayach yim yim ha'shayin t'resh chiddush b'shabbos, k'im sh'b'avtei yim ha'shabbos maskirin gamis, ha'yim ha'shayin t'resh chiddush yedei yisobos posik yishun v'achin d'mocha chiddush. Even greater chiddush when Rosh Chodesh comes out 2 days, then the first day of Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos. Therefore, the second day of Rosh Chodesh also has a connection to Shabbos, because in the Haftarah of Shabbos, when you have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, after you do the Rosh Chodesh Haftarah, you do the first and last pasuk of Machar Chodesh, which is the Haftarah of Shabbos when it precedes Rosh Chodesh by 1 day.
This Shabbos.
Okay. Masha'en ken, kishayim alaf to Rosh Chodesh, chal, b'yem shishi, b'yem beis to Rosh Chodesh chal b'Shabbos, as opposed to when the Shabbos falls out on the first, when it's Friday and Shabbos, then only the second day is connected to Shabbos. Okay, so it comes out that in a time when the first day of Shabbos comes out on Shabbos, so you have the association of Shabbos and the Shabbos, and also Shabbos leading into the Shabbos, so you have all the manners of Chanukah in a manner of Chiddush Kafel, double Chiddush. Chiddush Agave Chiddush, which, as we got through explaining, is the only way to go. Yiratzu she'ed lufnei yosef ben yoni Chanukah ma'is pe'el yidna kosh baruch in ma'is Chanukah. Yiratzu that even before the increase in man Chanukah ma'is pe'el, the Eibush should give Chanukah geld. We should get from the Eibush the Chanukah geld. Leidak be'Eibush shal matan olgam be'Eibush shal tashim chayv. Not only in a way of a gift, but also that David should give the Chanukah geld that he owes, he should pay back time. L'nai Yisrael ve'yaveh, since the custom is to give to the little children, that David should give to the Jewish people that are referred to as Nai Yisrael. The Jewish people are like a young child, ve'yaveh, and therefore God says, I love them. But in achinach it's a mukhrech, that the Chanukah geld should be in the most essential an urgent matter. Bring the true and complete redemption through Melech HaMashiach, who, on whom it is said that with the oil of my holiness I have anointed him, that he should come to Pe'el Mamash. And through him will be the Chanukah, the of the third Beis HaMikdash, which will come down already built from Shemayim, Ikeb Smichas Man Mamish, and the main thing is that it should be right now. Oed Lifnei Tfilas Mincha VaKriya B'Teirah Parshas VaYigash, even before Mincha and the reading of Teirah Parshas VaYigash, Shatechna Smichas Gula L'Tfila, VaYigash Agula Ba'Oed Lifnei HaTfila. That Parshas VaYigash is about Geula being same as Geula to Tfila, in which Geula precedes Tfila. First we say God Yisrael, then we daven. So similarly, the Pe'el Mamash, you should have the Geula before the davening of Mincha, before the Tefillah. Especially after all the Tefillahs for redemption that we have made, and including the Tefillahs of this Shabbos, take it from Yad Mamash, that the redemption should come before the davening immediately, La'yikvan Keherafayim. He did not delay them even for the blink of an eye. Kevin Shagula Tavi, take it from Yad, B'yem Yishan Shechedish Tevis, Yasir B'chedish Yomtuf. And since the Gula will come immediately on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Tevis, then the 10th of Tevis will become a Yom Tov. As the halachic decision of the Rambam in the end of the laws of Tainus, all these fast days will be cancelled out in the times of Mashiach. Not only that, they in the future will become Yom Tov holidays, you mean some simple days of gladness and joy. Amen.